Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 3. In verse 13, the Word of God says that Moses said to God, "Behold, when I come to Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am, and what I am, and will be what I will be." And he said, "You shall say this to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now, that was in the Amplified. That's why those of you who are wondering why it reads differently than your Bible, because that was the Amplified. Now, here's the thing about that, guys. God has a specific name. God goes by specific names. He has more than one. And I'm not talking about like God and Allah and things like that. No, his names have meaning. I'm not talking about modern translations of his names. In the Bible, his names have meaning. And one of his names is simply I Am. And that's kind of a strange name if you think about it, but not if you realize the meaning that's behind it. Now, for example, the name Jehovah, a lot of people want to call him Jehovah. That's actually not his name. That's more like a title. Because the word Jehovah is a hybrid word. In other words, it's a word that was made up of a few other words. And that happened because the Israelites were afraid to say the name of God. Because when the flood came, and then Babylon and all these different events that took place, they became afraid of God, and they were afraid to say his name, and so they made up a title for him. The title was made up of a collection of different words, and they came up with this word, Jehovah. Okay, Jehovah is not a name. It's like the president's name is Trump, but you don't say president if you know him personally, right? His wife doesn't call him Mr. President, and his kids don't call him Mr. President. Maybe when they go to the Oval Office, they do. But if they're at home, they're going to call him by his real name, because that's his name. Likewise with God. God has a name. Here, his name is I Am. That's one of his names. That name is extremely important. That name means to exist, to become, and to come to pass. Now, in that, it's also talking everything that is present, that is past, and that is future. And it's very important that we understand that aspect of his name, because if we understand that name, then we'll understand how things operate with God. Now, have you heard that God has a plan for your life? He does. Have you heard that God has promises that he gives? He does. Have you heard that God is reliable and you can trust him? He is, and you can trust him. Have you heard that God knows all things? He does. Now, how can these things be? And part of it is found in this name, I Am. Everything that exists, everything that has become, and everything that will come to pass already is there in God's eyes. Now, we can't see the future, but God sees the future very clearly. And it's a little bit, and this is what the name is referring to, it's a little bit because of the way things work. God made everything. We know that. He made the stars, he made the earth, he made people, he made animals, he made dirt, he made plants, he made absolutely everything. That's what that name is saying here. That God made everything. He is the source of everything, including the source of time. Now, this may seem a little confusing to you, but it's important to understand this. If we're to understand God. To us, time is like standing in a river. and you're standing there and the water is flowing past you. And you can liken that water to time. So the water is like time and it flows past you and we kind of feel like time is flowing past us. And some people will say, well, maybe it's like a highway where we're going down this highway and time is the highway and we're moving along this highway. Either way, it's kind of the same idea. But that's not actually what it's like. And that's what this name is emphasizing here. The name is emphasizing the fact that to God, time is like a table. You guys ever go to a dinner table, maybe at Easter or Thanksgiving or Christmas, and it's all laid out and all this stuff on it, like food and all kinds of different things and silverware and plates and cups and something to drink and all of it's on the table. The way God sees time is like that. It's like this big table. And we're like this little ant walking across the table. So as we're going across time, across the table, we might encounter one thing after another. And we say, well, first comes the soup, and then comes the bread, and then comes the meat, and then come the vegetables. But you don't have them all at the same time. They're all one after the other. Well, no, they're all on the table, but the ant comes across them one after the other. We're like that ant. What God is saying here is I'm reliable because everything that is made, past, present, and future, already exists, and I put it on a table. You experience it different than I do. But it's already there. It's already in place. When God gives you a promise, the answer is already in place. It's not what will happen. It's what's already there. And like that little ant moving across the table, you will encounter it as you keep going. And God is telling you what you're going to encounter that's already there. It's kind of like taking a drive somewhere to Chicago. And you put your destination in the GPS, or you look at a map, and the map will tell you, well, on your way to Chicago, you're going to pass this place and this place and that place and this thing, and over here is a restaurant, and over there is a gas station, and over there is all this other stuff. Well, that's like the promises of God. God tells us, I know where you're heading because I can see all of time and I can see you in it. And this is what you're going to encounter. And those are the promises of God. When God gives a promise, he can give the promise with confidence because he already sees the promise. He already put it in place, just like if you were setting a table. Now, the other part of that promise that God gave is that he is, in Revelation 1:8, the beginning and the end. And in Revelation 1:11, he's the first and the last. In other words, the very first thing that was put into time and the very last thing that will exist in time is already there and God placed it there. Now that's really important because that means that everything that Jesus did for you when he died on the cross and he shed his blood and he washes you from sin and he makes you perfect in God's eyes, that's already there. That's already done. That's what Hebrews 4:3 is saying when it says that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's already done. Have you ever had this thing where maybe you do something you shouldn't do and you feel a little bit guilty? And you live with the awareness of it. You're like, oh, I did that. And you may not even want to tell anybody. And often I think we don't want to tell anybody. But we have that feeling, that thought in the back of our minds. Oh, I did that. And you kind of cringe a little bit and you're a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit nervous and a little bit afraid and a little bit guilty. Well, the beautiful thing with God is when that takes place, he says you don't have to have that problem. The way it works is in Revelation 13:8, Jesus Christ was crucified. from the foundation of the world. Which is a little bit different than the way we're used to think about it. We're used to thinking, well, Jesus Christ was crucified 2,000 years ago. Well, yeah, if I'm like that little ant walking across the table, then I will say, yes, he was crucified 2,000 years ago because I'm moving across this table. And that's how long it took me to get across the table and people in general, not just us. And 2,000 years ago, right? Well, not really. Yes, 2,000 years ago from our perspective. But God sees it right now. It's on the table still. We've just passed that point on the table, like the little ant got past the bread, and now he's heading for the soup. Well, in the same way, when Christ was crucified, that's still on the table. But that's a really important point on the table. When it says from the foundation of the world, it's not talking about from the beginning of the world. That's the way sometimes we think about it. It's talking about the world was built on this. When you build a building, the first thing you do is you dig a hole and you pour some concrete. And that concrete is what the building sits on. That's called the foundation. That's what it's talking about there. That when Jesus was crucified, that was the structural foundation. That was what everything, the entire world, and the word there is cosmos, so it's not just talking about the earth, but also all the universe, was built on Jesus being crucified. Now that means his death on the cross, and that means his blood being shed. What that means for us is the moment that we fail, the moment we sin, God forbid we sin because that separates us from him in our experience. We can't really be separated from him in our relationship, but we can in our experience. It's like when you do something wrong and maybe you get sent to your room. You're separated for a little bit in your experience, although the relationships don't change in your life. Just your experience for a short while changes. But it's kind of like sin. Sin can separate us from God in our experience, but not in our relationship. But the moment that we confess to God our sins, in other words, not to anybody else, but to God himself, God, that was a sin. God says, it's all taken care of. Don't worry about it. You're forgiven. You can come back. Your relationship is in perfect condition. And you can have a relationship with him, you can talk to him, you can get answers from him. Everything that you could normally do, you can do again. Now, what happens on the table? Sin is removed the moment it takes place. Because the things that remove sin, the cross and the blood, are what everything is built on. That means that the moment I sin, my sin disappears. It's not in my past, because the past is in time, and time is like that table in front of God, and the table is built on what Christ did. And so the moment the person sinned, their sins disappear. The moment there's any sort of a failure, anything wrong, it disappears. And what is left is exactly the things that God is looking for in us. In other words, are trusting him, are receiving the word of God, love, things that are of faith, those things are what God sees. When he says, I am, that's what he's talking about. That's very powerful. Now, there's one more thing that involves. When he says, I am, because it's talking about everything created, it's also talking about all the things you need. Because they're already in place. The Bible says God supplies what you need. And so if you need something, it's already in place, and the proof of it is the fact that you need it. If you didn't need it, it wouldn't be there. The fact that you do need it is a sign that it's there. And so everything you need is already in place. And that's what Jesus is saying, I am. If you need help, the help is in place. And just like that little ant going across the table, you will reach that help. If you need sometimes money, sometimes, especially when you're an adult, sometimes you run low on money, God will make sure that the money is there. If you need a home, God will make sure your home is there. If you need certain people, God will make sure that the people are there. No matter what it is, if you need protection, maybe there's something going on and you need God to protect you, the protection is already there. You don't have to ever be afraid because of what God's name is. The fact that His name is I Am means everything for your life is already in place. You guys are kids, but if you ever get married, and most people do get married, although some people it's not God's plan, but for most people it is. So if it's God's plan for you to be married, that person, God already sees who that is. God already knows where they're coming from. He knows how to bring them to you. You don't ever even have to worry about that. That's already in place. What's my job going to be? Where am I going to go to college? All of that is already in place. You never have to worry about things like that. God already has them in place. The part that we're concerned about, it's that we respond to Him in faith, that we trust Him. If He says something, we do it. If He desires something, that becomes our desire. If God is a certain way, we learn to have that aspect of His character in our life. What we worry about is faith response. It's called faith response. But the fact that you need it, or the fact that you want it, or whatever it is, His name tells you it's already in place. So you never have to worry about anything. It's already there. You guys understand that? That one's a little bit more complicated than normal, but I'm hoping you understand it anyway. You get that? Okay, that's it for today.